Is it okay to be jealous of your friends? How do you battle with feelings of friend envy if your friend is, say, more attractive, more successful than you? How do you deal with those feelings if a friend seems closer with another one of your friends? And does it make you a bad friend to have these feelings? We'll be discussing all these topics and more on today's episode of Borderline Inappropriate with Merle and Aria.
And Maddie!
Maddie Riri! Did I say Maddie Riri or Maddie Riri?
You said Maddie Riri, which is my dead name, and so you're going to cancel jail.
Wait, you don't use that name anymore. Oh, wow. He did change. Wow. I apologize. Wow. With Maddie Riel, Matthew Riel, an incredible, incredible friend, but incredible director.
We'll find out if producer. I'm an incredible friend today.
Oh, yeah. That's what we'll be talking about. Well, Matt came. Well, we've been wanting Matt on this podcast for a while. He's a podcast producer extraordinaire himself, but also he's the one who brought up the topic we're talking about today. And he pitched a bunch of different topics, which were all very interesting. And very much a fit for this podcast.
That they were too scared to talk about.
Yeah, a little too scared. He wanted us to go in about, you know, abortion and...
Yeah, say, what's your problem with it?
Also, he just has a voice for radio, so let's be honest.
This is really, though, this will be the best episode for the audio-only listeners.
Yeah. That's you can true. Sleep to this.
That's true. But yeah, no, this was the most... As soon as he pitched this topic, though, I thought, oh, this is perfect. Because it's something that I think is very relatable. Mm-hmm. It's also a little taboo to talk about. And it's something that I know at least Merle also deals with.
Don't tell me you're never jealous of people.
Well, Ari is actually being kind because I've openly communicated this specific thing as a problem in our friendship, but he didn't want to.
I didn't want to toss him under the bus. I figure it's going to come out anyways in the episode, but
I just clam up.
We start up.
I don't know if you are terrible people and none of this ever happens to me.
I'm excited about this one. As soon as I saw it on the list, I was like, that is such a good idea. That tracks on brand for Matt Riel, first of all. Tracks on brand for me. And it was something I don't like about myself. So
yeah,
let's
it
air
sucks.
It out.
Well, there's a heavy degree of shame involved with it.
So why is it taboo, right? We're supposed to say.
Oh, we'll just dive right on in. Yes. If this is your first time watching or listening to Borderline Inappropriate, you know, this is what we talk about on this podcast. Every week, we talk about taboo topics, uncomfortable topics, sometimes with a beautiful guest like Matt. Other times, just this beautiful couple right here. That said, let's just dive in with the way we usually do, which is talking about why is it even taboo? Why is it uncomfortable for us to talk about? I'll turn it over to you both to get started. You want to start, Matt?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be this way. Like, jealousy and envy is something that you're not supposed to have. And it's definitely something that you're not supposed to communicate.
How are you not supposed to have it? To be human, well, that's the thing.
But I think the idea is that yes, it is a human emotion that I feel like you, like the are we a bad, am I a bad friend for feeling this way? Almost everyone will, if it was a yes or no, go, yeah. Mm. You know, I feel about this particular thing. I know it's one of those things that I know other people experience and I know everybody experiences it, but I feel so alone in that way. You know?
Me too. Like sometimes if some... Actually, I'm so embarrassed. This is going to be a shameful episode.
Yeah, kind of.
But you know, if some you see somebody on social media and you see them doing something, you're like, do I really even want to like this? Like, do I even want to like
this? Oh, I straight up don't.
I don't either. Yeah, no. I don't either, but I'm really trying in 2024 to be like, just like it anyway. Or I'll be jealous, but like it anyway. And I hate that about myself. I feel like a bad person.
Yeah.
Fuck.
No, but this, you're even further than me because I feel like not famously because no one knows who I am, but I communicated this to you like a long time ago, you Merle, about how like I just feel like I need to be like engaging more in other people's stuff. I will very easily not like something or be like, they don't know I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
I hate this. I'm not going to lie. And I don't think that I like stuff that I like actively disagree with. But I know the other day I saw something on a social media app and we shouldn't put this in. I saw something on a social media app and I can't say, but I remember texting Aria and saying like, what the fuck is this? Or something like that. And then within seconds being like, great job or whatever. And I felt horrible about not the liking and the supporting of it, but the feeling of those thoughts and then the communicating of them to anyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm. But that's why it's nice to have a safe space amongst friends to share those feelings.
I feel I'm just trying to think, did anything I say reveal what?
No, it did not.
Okay. It did not. You were so vague about
it. It took me a while to even remember what you were talking about.
Yeah, right. You know.
Now it took me a moment though. But yeah.
All this said, I think this is incredibly common. Like, I think if there's a single person out there that does not know what we're talking about,
you're a liar.
You're lying. And I think I do hope that we set some people free by admitting that we look at people's posts and get jealous and then don't interact with it.
Well, social media is a big part of it nowadays, right? I mean, like, I'm sure I am 100% sure friend jealousy has been around since the dawn of man. That said, social media, it makes it all the worse.
Well, yeah, because you used to just not know what people were doing.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not knowing, oh my God, how many times in my like young adult life was people out doing something without me? Mm-hmm. And I just didn't fucking know.
Yeah.
That ruled.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, you know, I didn't see someone's Instagram story and be like, why didn't I get invited to that?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do all the time.
I know. Wait, so let's break this apart into a few different, because there's so many ways we can go with this. I feel like that will have no structure. So first it's like, let's say the success element of a friend, because that's what we've started touching upon. Because then there's also the friend envy of like being FOMO, like left out. Then there's the envy of somebody, like maybe how they are, how they look, mm-hmm. or how they whatever. So starting with the friend, like the social media or the success aspect of things.
Can I say?
Please.
I did a little bit of research.
No.
I Googled envy, or I Googled jealousy, and then I found out that envy and jealousy are different.
Really? Oh,
yeah. Which I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Jealousy is the fear that something you have will be taken from you.
Oh.
So like, you know, if my wife goes out and I'm like, what is she doing? Is she going to make out with someone? Right. That threatens an attachment that I have to my life with my wife and what we know to be true. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Envy is, I want what they have.
Oh, wow. See, this is a real podcast person here. Actually has the definitions for the terms.
Well, that was it. That's the extent of all of I've done.
That's important, actually. Good job. That's a very important distinction, especially for this episode. Because I think, if anything, then this is more envy-based, a lot of this.
Mm. Yeah, but it was envy based until we talked about including the thing about like the fringe thing. Like,
that's true.
Because that's an element of it that I do think is jealousy.
Of course, because it feels like you're taking something away from you, something that you have. Yeah. But even to a degree, I mean, we can talk about success, like Merle said, we can start with that one. But to a degree, that's kind of a mindset shift that needs to happen if you are jealous or envious of a friend's success, because some people may feel threatened. Well, let's use the film industry, for example. You know, you have friends.
Big problem.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people. We know so many people, content creators, people in just the general traditional film world. You see people being successful in it, and your mind may go to a jealous place where you're thinking they're keeping you or they're preventing your success. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
They're having success that you could be having. When that mindset shift should happen to be a bit more, I think being envious of that, of their success, is a recognition that they're not taking away anything from you.
Right.
Being jealous of their success makes you think like you're losing something as well.
Mm. Right. Because a lot of the times it'll be, oh, I wish I had that. And then like for me, it's, oh, did I miss my chance to do that? So that does threaten what I hope is going to happen, which is, you know, fucking $1 billion.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it does. It is a bit of both.
No, yeah, totally. I think there's like, for the filmmaking thing, or just for other people who out there content, I'm like a self-loathing content creator in the sense that like, I hate
that. I think we all are.
Yeah, it's like, I hate how much I feel like my real life has to bleed into my professional life. Like if I'm eating something, do I have to share it? Do I have to take a picture of it? Mm. Do I have to show how I made it? So part of me is like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to, so I don't post that much. But then I see other people posting, I'm like, fuck, that's a good reel they made, or that's a good TikTok. Mm. I should be doing more of that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, but you just said you don't like doing that.
That is my real life every fucking day.
Sucks.
Is being like, I don't want to do this, but then other people have success in it. And I go, well, shouldn't I have been doing that?
Yeah. And I go through that loop on a monthly basis, not monthly, weekly, daily basis, honestly.
Every minute of every day.
And then as soon as you start editing a TikTok, you're like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to do this. Filming it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. I often am, and that's my daily problem of like, okay, do I want to be in this digital space or do I want to go after the more traditional narrative space?
Yeah. I get that.
We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And it's that like, I feel like I don't have enough energy to put into either one of them, let alone Okay, am I going to do both of them badly?
Right. Well, here's the thing.
Or do I need to go, yeah, this is my whole thing.
With social media and the advent of like shorter form content, the returns on them are more instantaneous. So you can churn out like hundreds of TikToks in the amount of time it would take you to make a full feature length film that probably no one will see.
Yeah.
Maybe no one will see. Maybe somebody will see. Maybe it'll get you somewhere. But the chances are so low. So it's like, then you have to ask yourself, okay, how do I keep the lights on while I pursue this dream of being a filmmaker? And how much of my creative energy is it eating up? That's the equation that I get stuck in all the time, you know? Yeah.
And then you see other people who are just nailing it.
I know.
And you're like, where do they get this time?
Well, because they don't want to be a filmmaker. They don't have, or maybe they do, but I don't know about it. But a lot of these people, some of them, probably a lot of them do want to do higher stuff, but some people are just happy in the short form space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's
not
us.
No, my thing is that there's a part in Paddington 2 where the dad is on two different trains and he has to keep his legs on, you know. I have never made the full decision to just not commit to one of them. Mm-hmm. What's the opposite of committing? Leaving one completely and going, I'm done with that side of my life and I'm going to go fully into this one. And so I feel like because I've straddled both of those for such a long time, it's like, I don't really feel like I'm successful in either one of them, you know?
It's kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none situation.
Yeah, but do you know the full phrase of that?
No, I think you've told me this in the past.
I saw it on TikTok, and maybe it's not true. It's a jack of trades, master of none is always better than a master of one.
Oh, okay. This is let me just say quickly. A month ago, the second half of this was revealed to me.
Yeah, she only knew jack of all trades.
I only knew jack of all trades. I didn't know master of none. So now you're telling me there's a third. And there
now
are
you're back
four
to what I thought was the first one.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, so which is
a jack of all trades, a master of none is always better than a master of one.
What do you guys think? Do you think that's true?
Did the head of TikTok or like social media write that? Because I feel like that's what they're trying to do to
us. It's helped me make a lot of money.
Yeah.
True. That mindset?
Diversify.
Or no, just being like, if I look at my career, it's like, I can do that.
Same. I mean, that's what BuzzFeed taught us. Well, I mean, just BuzzFeed, but content creation in general, you kind of have to be a one man, one woman, one person band.
Well, with the filmmaking thing, I think also, or like any creative endeavor you might have, I have friends, and here's something I'm envious of. A little, actually, am I? And I'd like to know if you are. I have friends who clock in and clock out and they watch TV and they drink a glass of wine or they hang out with other people and they don't have anything else they want to do. And they're happy. And I'm like,
I love that.
I love that too. I'm like, why can't I have that? Even when I'm doing any little thing, like as I'm playing Baldur's Gate for the 13th hour in a row, I'm hating myself. Cause I'm like, you could have put 13 of these hours into something else. You know what I mean? Like I'm always thinking about like, what could I have done with this time? Even when I'm hanging out with people, I'm like, I should stay in and shoot another video, but I'll go. And then I'm happy I'm there. But do you wish, I guess what I'm asking is, do you wish you were someone who didn't have these other lofty, like creative pursuit goals? Would you choose that path if you could?
I would feel like then we wouldn't be the people that we are. You know, I think because the three of us have chosen very specific creative paths, you know, the downside to that is that your mind is kind of always on, in the sense that even on weekends, you're like, okay, I could be devoting this to some creative time or some creation of something. Where someone who, you know, just does a 9-to-5 job outside of the arts, then they have financial security through that or whatever, or live whatever kind of life within people that are able to separate that work life, their work and their life. That's a good place for them. And they're able to then spend their weekends relaxing. That's beautiful. That sounds great. But unfortunately, that's just not something that's in the cards for us.
But we're getting to the, how you kind of survive this. We've done it. How long are we recording? 16 minutes. We're done. But it's that thing where it's like, yeah, but their life is different. You know, but their wants and their needs are different, right? So to see someone and be like, oh, you know, they have so much YouTube success or whatever. I am here and not there because of the choices that I made and the moments in my life where I go, I don't want that, you know? And, you know, obviously that can change, but I think I can't look at someone who's my age in a different city who has a house and several kids, because I made a decision at some point that I didn't really want that. I wanted this, right? So I think it is like, you know, that whole thing. You're racing against yourself and no one else.
Right? I love that. Well, I hate it, but I love it.
The platitude of this whole episode, I guess.
That is the truth. And, you know, I mean, the other sentiment is also obviously the grass is not always greener on the other side. I mean, it's oversaid, but it's the truth. Yeah. You know, you only see, especially with social media, we see nowadays a little bit more people trying to show the good and the bad, especially this, we're filming this around New Year's. And so obviously there's some people talking about, you know, their highs and lows. So it's good to see some lows. But for the most part, social media is a place.
It's good to see some lows. That's digging into that part.
That's true, though. It's good to see some lows because I think, especially for influencers that constantly try to show the stream of success to their fans or their following, or even just, I think I'm influencers, when you try to project an image of success and all this positivity, you know, it can be, you know, it can be deflating for other people. And so it's nice to see, you know, when people are open about the fact that, you know, life isn't always rosy, because that's the truth. And, but yeah, the grass isn't always greener. And like, so whatever Matt just said, he said it much more eloquently than I just did.
I just quoted some other people who say that kind of stuff.
Well, you know what? They are the beautiful listeners probably didn't know that they had said that. So
I'm sure everybody's heard that you're only in a race against yourself.
No, it's a Matt Rial quote.
Yeah.
Now.
Thank you. Put it on a poster.
I just think it's funny that we all agree that we get jealous of people for things we don't actually want.
And that's true.
Portions of it we do want.
But portions of it we do. Like, we want the recognition. We want the, like, the fulfillment. For me, anyway, like, when I see people doing short form content, I'm like, I know in your day-to-day life, you're going throughout the day to film. Mm-hmm. Like, everything you're doing. And I've spent time with people where when we're hanging out, we're making content. And I never have felt drawn to or comfortable asking people to come hang out and make. Well, actually, we did that with you today.
Well, Matt, we're close with
but
Matt.
You know
Matt's
what I mean?
Different.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, even when you go to get lunch with someone, they're expecting you to be a part of some sort of content creation around that.
You're actually making me feel better about my life.
Okay, good.
Because that doesn't happen to me.
Okay, well, that has happened to me a few times. And I'm like, oh, wow, this would never have even crossed my mind that because I'm spending time with this person, I should have thought of a way to make content around hanging out with them. That's just not. It's just not.
Right. So I have a unique perspective in that in 2013, I was a Viner and I was on Vine, and that was my life, was all day. Okay, here we do. Record 5 or 6 Vines a day. There's 6 seconds. Not that impressive. But I
don't discount them. They were very funny.
They were very funny. I was always thinking that way, and it was a fucking nightmare. And like, so eventually I was like, I don't care about this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I want to focus on, you know, I was in film school at the time, and I was like, I'm going to make these, you know, other stuff. But I know what that life is like. I know what it's like. And now the shit's longer and the shit's better looking and the shit costs more. So I can only imagine what your life is like if you're like, I need to put out 5, 6, 7 TikToks a day or a week or whatever the fuck it is. So I know that part, I can easily say in my mind, if I'm asking myself quietly, do I want that? No, I know the answer is no. But when they're cashing them checks and they're, you know, and people are taking off like on these trips and shit like that, and they're like, oh, I could have fucking done that.
Yeah.
You know? And then this is the next part of this, which is really fucked up. You go and poke holes in their shit, you know? Well, this is not that hard. Mm-hmm. This is not that easy. Oh, they're doing this, you know, this is beneath me.
I could do that if I wanted to.
Yeah, I could do that if I wanted to. But, and that's so fucked up.
Yeah, I know.
But we do it. Or like when, you know, you say a friend of mine makes a short or a feature. I was going to say feature, but then I was like, oh, my friend did make a feature, which I think is incredible.
Thank you very much. Matt was a big part of the creative process.
But I was just giving an example, and then I was like, oh, wait, I do have a lot of friends who did make features, and they are all very good. But if I were to see someone, it's very easy for us to go, well, here's, this is bad, this is bad, you know, oh, you know, they're not, you know, trying to like literally like claw them, their success down and go, ah, you know, I'm glad I didn't do that or whatever. It's, ugh.
Yeah. It's so normal.
Yeah.
It's also so normal. Like, and I do think that when, and I know that when I'm in my lane and I'm focusing on like passion things like acting, it's like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I really love it and it makes me happy. And when I have a day of that done and I've put a lot of time into memorizing something or I put out a self-tape that I'm proud of, when I go on TikTok or I go on Instagram and I see somebody doing a short food form content, I'm like, whatever. Like, I less likely to have the angry personally feelings I've noticed than when I'm not channeling my energy into something that I really love. I'm not saying they're not there, but they're less aggressive than a day after I've been playing Baldur's Gate for 5 hours in a row, you know? So I think there's something to be said for investing in those passions. It might help soften the blow when other people are doing things that you don't really want to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. For me, a lot of this is creative, of like, I want to be doing this. I wish that I did that. None of it is possible in the, like, you can't do all of it. So you have to choose something. But I'm trying to think about, like, which is other people's success. But there's elements of that that I feel like we haven't talked about that I'm trying to mine.
So what comes to mind, I guess?
Well, I guess, are we, like, jealous of people that are having success at all cost? I think you circled around that when you were saying, like, yeah, but this person, when they're cashing those paychecks, I don't really care how they got there for a minute. It's like, you know, they've got the followers. If you see someone gain 100,000 followers, whereas I feel like on Instagram, it's a losing game constantly.
Oh, yeah. I think I had... every day I go in there and I lose a couple.
Me too. Me too. It's like nonstop. But so, and I'm not even posting. That's the thing, you know? So I'm like, what the hell?
I think now, to help your brain, because it helps mine, I think a lot of those are just people who have deleting their accounts.
Okay, let's say that. That helps a lot by the droves. Also good for you people out there deleting Instagram. But, you know, I think the ultimate thing is like, do we want that person's, like, because, okay, wait, sorry. This is crazy thought, but not crazy thought, just a tangent, but I'm not as jealous of someone who's like on a private jet because they have a finance gig.
No.
I'm more jealous because I'm like, no fucking way am I doing that job. No way. I just, it doesn't work with my brain, would make me miserable. But when it's like adjacent to creative things, I think is when it like hurts. But then again, the people that don't want to do creative pursuits, they are jealous of different things. So the jealousy thing doesn't change.
Right.
You know?
But it also hurts more when it's someone you know.
Yeah,
right?
let's dial into that.
Because that, I think, is the problem.
Yes.
And I think it hurts more when it's someone you know, and then it hurts even more when it's someone you know and don't like.
When we were talking about this episode, I think I don't battle so much with the jealousy or envy of other people's success, but I do get, or as much as you both do, but I do get particularly annoyed when people I don't dislike very many people, but there are a couple of people who I just don't think are very good people. And I see them doing well. And I think, I don't know what deal they made. But the Buddha and karma will come for them. That's what I believe.
That is a struggle.
Wait, you're always telling me, can I just say this? Let's talk about this. Aria constantly, because I'm constantly just letting the vitriol out. I'm like, how the fuck did this person do this? And why the fuck? Like, I'm just pissed.
Yeah.
And Aria will go, Merle, just stop comparing yourself to other people.
Hmm?
I'm like, what? Yeah. How? When? How? What? You don't compare yourself to
people? I mean that. See, my point there, I'm not even comparing myself to these people I don't like. I'm just annoyed that they're I don't think they're good people and they're getting success.
How do you not compare yourself to somebody?
I don't. I'm genuinely when I say that, like maybe to a degree I do, but at the same time, I just feel like we're all on our own paths. There are so many factors leading up to where they and I and we get to where we are. They could have come from a place of privilege. They may have monetary backing that we don't have to make, let's say, a film that, you know, I'm just saying.
That's a big one.
There's a lot of stuff, you know, like, so it's like, how can you compare yourself? Like we've lived very unique lives. And so it's like, if it was like, let's say, a twin of mine, I guess, an identical, like carbon copy me that was more successful than me, then I'd be like, that lived the exact same life.
And you have to kill them.
I mean, this is a Black Mirror episode. But essentially, I mean, then I can understand it. But yeah, I mean, like.
You are very good. I do think that of all the people I know who would tell me that, I would believe you more than anyone.
He means it.
Because you are very, very good at celebrating others. Sometimes. I see you celebrating others and it degrades how much you've celebrated me. Because I go, why is that? Wait, is he just lying to all of us? No, but I do think, and that might be the kind of the monk in you, the Buddhist, because I've tried to find that in me. And I feel like I've done a fine job. Me a few years ago would not have been.
That's true. You've been, you're an amazing person.
No one needs that. But, and I do think that is a lot of, weirdly enough, a lot of the findings of like that Buddhist about just being like, hey, fucking chill out. It's a crazy ride.
Yeah.
You know? Seriously.
I think there's maybe a Buddhist mindset. I don't think the Buddhist mindset of having my enemy struck down the way I said my karma. Maybe that's not so Buddhist of me. But hey, we can't be perfect. But that's the truth. I mean, I don't know. It's like
you are different. Your experience with this is different because you feel it more with people you don't like. I feel it more with people I do like and know. Like, I think you're really good at not having that. Like, to the point where I'm almost like, I'm really impressed and I'm a little jealous, honestly, that you are able to do that.
And I just don't like anybody. People I like, people I don't like. I'm just in a prison of my own making.
there's not that many people I don't like and I see them doing well, but there are plenty of people I do like and I see them doing really well, and I kind of feel bad about how badly I want what they have, but I don't really, but I get pissed at them for it. Anyway, I'm jealous that you cannot do that. It's cool that you cannot do
that. But this is another thing. I feel like you've said things to me, and I've sometimes been in the position to kind of high road you for a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And I think that is very important to go like, Sadie, my lovely wife, and I are very good about like being the other person and going, well, you don't, that is an ugly thing you're saying or an ugly thing you're doing, right? And I think everyone is much easier to see it in other people and go, well, maybe they did this or maybe they have this or whatever, to try and like, everyone's better with each other than they are with themselves. Sure. About like saying, well, you don't need to be that way because it's gonna, comparison is the thief of joy.
That's what he's always saying.
I love that saying. It's the truth though.
I say it to Sadie all the time, and she says it to me all the time when I forget it. And I think to myself, actually, Sadie's very, 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 very good at this phrase that gets me all the time. And sometimes I don't even need her to be there to say it. But she goes, why does that bother you? Mm-hmm. And I have to go, well, I'm being an asshole. And
it's a good partner.
She is. But I go, I'm upset with how the things I didn't do, and they have what they have and I should have that too, but I didn't do any of the things that they did to get there. And so it's really not fair for me to think that way. And
it gets your mind just going through the hoops that needs to get to that place where you eventually need to be I mean, you're them asking the question is in the same way a therapist kind of asks leading questions to get you to where you need to be to accept the mirror.
The
mirror.
Yeah, you're holding up a mirror to the other person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of that. That's cool. But yeah, I guess that is the benefit of having a wise, not even if you're single, I guess, or having a friend or someone who you can talk to.
You can tell yourself, though, like you say, if you're mindful about it. That's oftentimes, what I tell myself is you're going to die anyway. I know that sounds bleak as hell.
No, truly.
But at a certain point, I go to myself when I'm like really wound up. Like I had a really bad day yesterday in my mind. And I was really jealous of a lot of people yesterday, badly. I was really looking forward to today, actually. And I was just like, I was like, okay, these people are doing these things. You think you want to do these things, but then no one's going to remember this. Like none of this is going to matter. Eventually the universe is going to break in half. Mm. And like, actually none of this is, it matters. So like, it's okay. Yeah. And I know that sounds really crazy, but like, sometimes that really helps. I'm just like, none of it matters. It matters enough if you want it to, but it doesn't actually matter.
I agree, but I also disagree in the sense that I do feel like...
You didn't have to clue back in and be like, oh yeah, I do have to fucking...
Yes, things do matter. Do this bullshit,
I did say it matters if you want it to. Like, I can tell when things make me happy. When I pursue my passions, I can tell what makes me happy. So it makes my time on earth worthwhile. And spending time with people that I care about makes my time worthwhile. But ultimately... none of it matters. That's a Buddhist mindset.
Sure.
The impermanence.
Impermanence. That's true.
The glass is already broken.
Buddhist is the one who told me I was wrong to say that.
isn't that the thing? The glass is already broken. There's a glass on a shelf and the guy, I think it's a monk, drinks from it and then it breaks. And he goes, and the other guy's like, why doesn't that bother you? And he goes, because to me, that was already broken.
Did you just not want to pay for it?
To me, the glass is already broken, and every minute I had with it before was a gift.
Oh, I like that. I got chills on that.
I do think if you search the glass is already broken or the cup is already broken or something like that, you will get the story somehow. But that's essentially what I thought you were saying. not relevant to what we're talking about at all.
But hey,
sometimes it helps to zoom out.
I mean, do we want to move on to the next aspect of jealousy?
Unless anybody has final thoughts.
Or is there any
Success? In terms of success, I think the result or the resolution for all of this is you're going to have to just be fine with whatever you have. But I think to explore, I think for that thing where it's like, I see other people's success and I wish that I had that. I am in my own life, I've seen that in other people who I've been like, well, I want what they have. And then I can tell myself, well, they were there. They put in the work. They did they chose the path. They put in the work. It's extremely rare that people get somewhere on nothing, right? Mm-hmm. I know. But even still, like, there's people in my life who go like, well, did you really pay your dues to get there or whatever? But in a sense, they had to do something to get there, right? And their path is not my path. So I don't know. Maybe this is saying nothing, but I think, yeah, maybe I said nothing.
You're never saying nothing.
No, I think I said nothing here. No, the glass is already broken. Remember that? No, but I think that it's like, you always have to find it in yourself to go, well, where are these feelings coming from? How do I, you know, calm down, right? And how do I give credit to the person who has what they have? Because it's really ugly to not do that.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and that is a gift to you to go, you can even feel a little bit better about yourself if you go, well, they put the work in, they did the time, you know. And, oh, this was an Instagram quote that I saw that I was like, this is for this thing. It was, especially with your friends around you, because I feel like I have a lot of friends who are writing in TV. I've put no effort into writing in TV, right? So how is it up to me to go, I shouldn't be writing on TV? I've done a lot of film and a lot of digital stuff, but I'm going to butcher it, but it was like, don't be jealous of the people around you for having things that you, I cannot remember the beginning of it, but the end of it was essentially, all that means is that you're in the right place and you're up next. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, if the three of us are in a boat and then like, you know, it's your turn for $1 million. It's your turn for $1 million. And all I know is like, I can look at it and go, where the fuck's my $1 million? Or I can go, well, everybody in this boat's getting $1 million. I'm in the right place.
Well, also you're friends with people who are reaching those heights. So you're surrounding yourself with the right people.
Right. Exactly.
So you are up next.
So just being like, if it's happening to everyone around you, you're in the right place.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, actually. And I think there is something to be said with what you said before about, you know, these people are TV writers, but I don't want to be a TV writer. So you don't really want what they have. There's something in
I think Matt's saying he does want it. He just isn't putting it work in.
Oh,
well, no. Because again, Sadie, she goes, well, would you really be happy if you were a TV writer? And my friends who are TV writers who are possibly hearing this, I am so beyond happy for your success. Outside of the money that you make, and like being able to work in a creative environment, like that is not something that I look at those people and go like, well, fuck them. They shouldn't have
this. Nobody would think that.
That is certainly something that go, I want that. And I've said to them, I want that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
But what's interesting about that is, well, that was never on my list of things, you know, until other people had it.
Right? That's interesting.
If I'm like, you know, my pie in the sky stuff, filmmaking, you know, I'm able to travel wherever I want. It's a constant creative thing, but it was never like, you know, sure. Hey, you know, if someone wants to hire me and throw me in a writer's room, that would be great. But that's not the path that I'm on now. And it's not a path that I put any kind of distance on. So it makes no sense for me to get upset that I don't have that.
Totally. Basically. Yeah, that makes complete sense.
You can also, I think another thing that might be helpful and something I find is helpful is when I see someone doing something that I'm jealous of, I take a couple steps towards trying to do it. And I'm like, oh, I hate this process. Yeah. This sucks. What? Let's just use the like TikTok content creator thing. I'm like, I don't want to have to do 7 of these a day. I like that I do my 1 YouTube video a week and I have my schedule planned out in my mind. You know what I mean? Or maybe 2 videos a week. And for writing, what would you have to do? Just Google, look at the steps of what it would even take or just, you know, think about it. Writing is really isolating and hard. So it better be for something you really want to make, right?
Yeah, writing is the one thing in my life that is really tough to think about in that instance because it is a, you know, any success in writing is an iceberg, you know?
Totally.
You see, oh, this person got this deal or this person sold this. And beneath the water is years and years and years of writing that nobody's read, nobody's seen. And so that when I do feel like, so for friends who are like on a TV show or you know, who are writing movies or whatever, the second I see that, I go, well, I've got to get my ass, you know, on the typewriter. I write on a computer. but then I start to do it and, you know, I feel better about it.
And you know what you could look at too is those years spent slogging in isolation, staying in, not going out, you have a lot of memories that they probably would be jealous of at the time. Then they were stuck sitting there at their laptop being like typing stuff that no one's going to read.
Well, I think what you just did is a bad thing to do.
Why?
I like this.
Because that's but that is taking away something from them.
No. I don't want to take anything away from them.
No, but it is.
That's a sacrifice they made that I haven't made.
That's true. Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Sorry.
It's a nice
turn
try.
Turn the alarm on.
I was excited.
Yeah, I know. You want to watch a fight.
It's good for engagement.
Classic Maddie and Merle fight. but basically what I'm saying is they sacrificed many nights out that I have not sacrificed in my 20s. You know, they sacrificed things. And it's working for them.
Yeah.
But now it's my turn to be jealous.
Okay, two things. What you said is correct. Okay. In my opinion. But there's two different things that I thought you were doing.
What did you think of?
I thought you were doing the Willy Wonka, in the original film, Willy Wonka, when like all these friends are getting the gold bars. Have we seen this film?
Yeah.
Yes. There's the part where, and someone is like, this is what I'm talking. I say this every day. Cause I do say this all the time. But when everybody else is getting, he's seeing other people get the gold tickets in the thing, in the chocolate, he goes, well, I bet it makes the chocolate taste terrible. And it is him going like, well, they're probably experiencing something bad because of that. That must not be all it's cracked up to be. And I think that's completely just rationalization. That's not what you were doing. But you were doing the, very similar to they put in the work, but I just chose different experiences.
Totally.
That may. And in writing, this is something I have to think about all the fucking time. Is that if you're a wunderkind and you're like, and this is me doing a little bit of the chocolate tastes terrible thing, but also it's a double-edged sword. If you're like a wunderkind who you're like, oh yeah, you blew up at 22, 23, right? Your life is frozen there, you know? And I think I'm very happy that I didn't blow up in any sense at a younger age, because I'm not really happy with who I was up until like maybe 27 or 28. Totally. And sometimes I'm not even happy with who I am now. If a platform ever comes to me or any success happens to me in any way where I'm like writing films or whatever, TV or whatever, there is such a wealth of life that I can draw on now that I wouldn't have been able to do if I was like a Hollywood hit at 22, 23. And a lot of times you see people get success and then they become just incredibly unrelatable.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to almost everybody. For sure. There's a fixed amount of time where you can really do that. And so it's really kind of everybody's on their own path thing. It's rare that someone is incredibly successful for such a long period of time.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So eventually you'll get yours, you know?
It might not be what you thought it was.
Yeah. But
I saw an Instagram quote the other day that I won't steal, but I'll just put it out there.
I didn't steal any of them.
I'm gonna paraphrase. No, you've been pretty transparent. I'm gonna paraphrase it, basically being like, this is so funny. It had like floral, like the garnishes around it. And it was like, I don't want to see an 18-year-old busting into Hollywood. Show me the story of a 60-year-old that picks up an instrument for the first time. Show me this 80-year-old who just learned to swim. And honestly, as silly as it was, I was like, you know what? We really don't highlight those stories in mainstream media at all. So we all live under this illusion that we're supposed to have it all figured out by 20.
Yeah.
And that's 30 is like a death call. It's like, oh, you hit 30. You're not in the 30 under 30. So, that's what it was about. It was about 30 under 30. It was like, fuck 30 under 30. Show me what everyone's doing in later in life.
Oh, sure.
Like the
sure,
Forbes
sure.
30 under 30.
Yeah.
Because 30 under 30, okay, it's impressive. We know someone
some people.
Who's been on it. Yeah. Amazing. But like, that's not going to be everyone.
Hates them.
No. So to my friends who are in 30 under 30 that might be watching this, no. I'm just saying, you know, that's not, they can't be everyone.
Yeah.
You can't all be 30 under 30.
Truly.
There's only 30.
There's only 30 every year.
And that, what a relief that is.
And they don't know.
Well, there's more than 30 because they pick a little.
By some category, right?
There are so many things I've done under 30 that I'm proud of that nobody will know about. Like inside, internal work. And you know, it's kind of like what you said. So make your own 30 under 30. The 30 things you've done.
I like that.
At least in your heart. Okay, last thing about this, I will say. Gratitude really helps. Like,
oh, yeah.
Three things in the morning. It sounds so cheesy, but like three things in the morning that you're grateful for. When I was doing that, my mind was a healthier place to live. It was a better place. It was a simple thing to do and it worked and I should start doing it again.
Well, I did a little research prior to this episode as well. And there are some you know, actionable steps to help combat these feelings of jealousy and envy.
Look at you.
I want to be a
producer.
But I think we should go into the other categories first. Okay. I think these advice will be encompassing for all. Beautiful. But gratitude was one of them, which is why I was mentioning that. Gratitude is one of the important steps, according to Psychology Today.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. You clicked on the first link.
I did.
Okay. The next thing, let's talk about
friendship.
Friendship. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about friendship. Mm-hmm. The friendship thing, because there's going to be more to talk about this. But as far as like attraction to people, I just want to say one thing. I'm proud of two friends of mine. It was a very awkward interaction, but they were very honest with me. When we went to college, I was a very awkward high school person. I was very thin, very tall.
You were in high school at college? Shouldn't even been there.
No. Well, actually, I shouldn't. I was 17 when I went to college. But
Doogie Howser.
I'm a genius. Continue. What can I say? But anyway, no, my mom said she regretted starting me off early. She said I wasn't emotionally mature enough yet, and she wished she hadn't done that. Oh. But that's okay. She's right.
We love a little real talk from mom.
No, she had a cigar and said, get in there.
Yeah. No, basically, the bottom line is I was kind of awkward. I hit my stride in college. I like filled
out. She was Bella the Ball.
I was getting it. I was killing it a little bit.
Oh, boy.
And, well, I was really awkward. Of all my friends in high school, I was the one that probably wouldn't have been picked as much. And so then come college, I had two of my friends say to me, and this is something I told my mom, they said, and she's like, I really like that they said that. They said, we don't enjoy going out with you because you're getting more attention now.
Mm. Well, you know what? That's actually some of the advice that I found online too, which we can dig into more. But you know,
be around uglier people.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh Jesus Christ.
Matt, I like that one.
That's funny.
But I agree with your mom as well. I think it's nice. It's good that they told you. Open communication about these feelings is very important. And it helps really build a friendship. You know, I think Matt and I have had many heart to heart moments, and I think
they've always come from me having an issue.
Oh, that's not a you thing. Arya doesn't talk about stuff unless you pull it out of him.
But that said, it always strengthens the friendship. It strengthened our friendship. And I think it strengthens friendships in general when you're able to acknowledge issues within the friendship, such as the feelings they felt when they were out with you. It's good that they were transparent. What better than them keeping it inside?
At the time, though, I was like, well, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to, what am I supposed
to
do? Sorry. Yeah. I don't know. Now I look back and I do respect it and I do appreciate it. And I'm sure that was really not easy to say.
No, yeah.
No, absolutely not. When you have these uncomfortable conversations and you throw that uncomfortable, awkward topic out into the ether and it just hangs there for a little moment, you gotta address it.
Yeah, then it's not your problem anymore. Then the other person has to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true. I was just imagining your two friends and I imagine them like,
you've met them.
Oh, well, before you say that, cut that part out. I was imagining your two friends and I imagine them being kind of very small, like troll-like people. And they go, we don't like hanging out with you. That's funny. That's all.
They're not,
put that wherever you like.
They're not troll-like people at
all.
Well,
this is a pretty good pivot now into the friendship topic. Because, friendship envy. Let's talk about that specifically.
Friendvy.
Matt coined that term.
That one's one that he did
camera.
Actually
he coined that off camera.
But and then Arya said it first.
Dive into it.
This is more shame for me.
This is a you guys starting thing. But I've talked a lot.
Well, I'll just be completely open about my jealousy of, and I think it is jealousy. It comes from both jealousy and envy. Mm-hmm. There was a moment in our friendship, because we kind of have a trio of friendship with you, me, and Jack. Mm-hmm. No one is on the level that you and Jack are.
I'm not even on the level.
No,
Jack,
yes, right? Exactly. But there was a time where like we would go over to Jack's place, watch, you know, I don't know how, can we communicate it that you live like right next to each other?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys are getting the tea right now.
We would go over to Jack's place and watch movies or watch like a fight or something like that.
Fight as in UFC. We weren't like watching chickens fight in the yard.
We would put our dogs in a...
oh my God.
No, yeah, there was a time where we would go over to Jack's place and watch a movie or go over to Jack's place and watch like a UFC fight or something. And those were always times that I looked forward to, right? Mm-hmm. And it was always great to go, oh yeah, Jack had like a whole list of movies and it was like, here's a list of movies that I want to watch. And we would say, yeah, and we would go watch them. And then you moved over here across the street from Jack.
Mm-hmm. Something I didn't know until we signed the lease.
To Miki, she keeps saying so that, funny. But that's 100% not true.
I'm going to ignore it because I'm making that point. And then I could immediately see, but even before it happened, I was like, oh, that's going to negatively affect me and our friendship.
Yeah.
And in a way it has, because what was like at one point, like, oh, here's a movie, let's watch this together. Then I could start to see, oh, I'm not getting the invites to the movies, which did hurt. Mm-hmm. But I also understand in my, like, in the cold light of day, well, it's much easier to go right, you know, they're right next to each other, blah, blah, blah. But it turned like, I could see it turning this really negative space in me that I would talk to Sadie about it and I would say like, you know, I'm feeling this. And that was not easy to do because eventually I'm sure Sadie was like, I'm fucking sick of this. You know, here's what happened. We had made plans to do a project together and we were doing it. And then I left town for a few weeks and I came back. And then after that, everything had changed where like everyone was doing this. You all were working together in a way that we were talking about that we would work mm-hmm. together. Cause there was this idea that we would make some stuff together. And, you know, I wrote some stuff that we were going to do together. And then it was like, oh yeah, we're all excluding you, Matt. We're all working together. Mm-hmm. This group of people who live near each other are going to be working together. You're not included and you're not, and no one needs you to be included. And so that really got to me in a way that I was like, oh, this is envious. This is jealousy. And then I realized it was mostly just jealousy because then I would say stuff and again, Sadie would be like, well, why does that bother you? And I would say, well, you know, I feel like, you know, community is very important to me. And I feel like if I'm on the outside of community traditionally, that bums me out big time. Anyway, we talked about it and it was very, very valuable for me to say that to you all, for you all to hear it. And then for you all to kind of reassure me, which, you know, I feel a little embarrassed about. I mean, obviously I'm talking on it here, but it was something that was really a bummer for me, but it helped talking about it. Helped saying, you're more attractive than me. You know? No, it really helped being that troll, one of Merle's ugly troll friends.
Oh my God.
If one of these people or both of these people are people I've met, then they're beautiful.
Yeah, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You can't
insult
them.
And that's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was very, very valuable for me to go through that and do that. And then I do think it was very valuable for you all to know that that is a concern of mine. Mm-hmm. Because I think that was super, super beneficial in terms of like, you know, how that works. Anyway, I don't know where we go from that, but that was something that I definitely felt like I thought the jealousy of that would be, oh, I'm not a part of that anymore. That hurts. That threatens what I knew or what I thought was existing. And then I was like, well, I have individual relationships with all of these people. They are allowed to have individual relationships with each other. And so honestly, it's weird to talk about it now because I don't really feel it anymore. So I don't know what switch flipped, but it must have just been talking about it.
And for the record, I feel like I'm part of it, but also not because I didn't talk to you at all.
You heard it? Well, how do you feel like you...
I'm just saying I'm part of the group of people you're talking about, but I didn't have this conversation with you.
No, I'm just trying to clarify this in the grand scheme of things.
She doesn't want to take the blame.
No, I don't, because I am an emotionally aware person and I would have felt the exact same way.
That's the thing. So I think everything that you said, Matt, is...
Not that you're not an emotionally aware person.
Of course, yes. Thank you, sweetie. But I think everything Matt said is very valid. And I think in a weird way, you kind of... It's a very good anecdote because it provides the solution to issues people may be having as well, which is to talk about it. I guess I'm trying to piece together my thoughts on this because I had a lot of thoughts as you were saying, but I didn't want to interrupt. But the bottom line is Matt was very valid in feeling that way. And then it taught me a lot too about, you know, being more aware, you know, like I was being inconsiderate of Matt's feelings. I didn't think about that. You know, we kind of get into these silos and, you know, so for example, when Matt says, you know, like he went away for a bit and it seemed like everyone came together and excluded him, there wasn't a thought process to exclude him. It's just, right. But that's just how those things kind of unfolded. But, you know, then it teaches me to be like, okay, maybe you should be a little bit more aware of, you know, the social dynamics and how certain things may play out with people you care about. Cause obviously Matt and I are very close and I care about him very much. And I felt very bad when you aired these feelings. But I'm glad you did at the time. And I think it was very valuable. Like I said, whenever Matt and I have these conversations, I feel like it strengthens the relationship. And hopefully that's probably why you don't feel that quite so much. But I think also it's natural to feel that way. But I'm just piggybacking everything Matt said, because everything he said was very correct. I think
also you're going away for a while. And if you think Jack's going to be here, yeah, and your friend when you come back.
Exactly. That's true. I'm going for, I'm leaving for a month.
Maddie and City move right down the street. I wish you would.
But yeah, that'd be, I did tell him. But I said anyways.
How was it to hear him being honest with you about the whole situation?
I mean, there was a degree of guilt for sure. You know, I thought, oh, Matt, like, you know, I love Matt and I care about Matt. And, you know, I never want to make him feel that way. And I was trying to, I think in, I remember in our response, and I'm glad Jack also responded in a similar way. Because we didn't talk about it, but it seemed like Jack was had a similar sentiment, which was, you know, we wanted to validate the way he felt because, yeah, there's no denying that's how he felt. And it makes sense. If I was in his shoes, I'd feel the same way. But it was also a matter of being like, yeah, I think there's a degree of guilt, you know, because you never want to make a friend feel that way. And I just wanted him to reassure him like we did. And hopefully, you know, hopefully that helped. But I think in the grand scheme of things, and if I were in that position, not only would I have felt the same way that Matt did, but I think I would have come to the same conclusion too, which is, you know, everyone kind of has their individual relationships and stuff like that. And I definitely felt guilt. I felt bad. And I think it's normal also that Matt felt a degree of shame or embarrassment to bring it up because it's an uncomfortable topic to bring up, you know? And I mean, how do you broach that topic really? I mean, because for a while, I think you probably had, you can confirm this, but I'm assuming you had been wanting to bring it up, but you weren't sure until you finally did. It's probably something that would stewed away.
Yeah. So my whole thing in life is that I'm very quick to talk about things when they bother me.
That's a good trait.
Well, I've learned to run them through a series of tests first. You know what I mean? To just bother Sadie with them for hours on end until she goes, you gotta figure it out. You gotta talk to someone else. No. But it is something that, like, the reason I brought it up is because I was like, oh, this is not going away. I'm not feeling this way. And I also came to the conclusion before I brought it up that I was like, I know that they are not doing this intentionally. Mm-hmm. If I really felt that was the case, then I would just not fuck with these people anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I was like, I know that this has to be received positively simply because the alternative to that would be they go, yeah, bitch. Yeah. We fucking hate you, dude. We've been waiting for this. Yeah. It was just basically run through a series of tests. Like, is this going away? Why am I feeling this way? What can I rationalize away and be like, okay, you're being ridiculous, you know, the blah, blah, blah. And then if it's still there, how will this benefit me vocalizing it? Mm-hmm. And thank God what happened was the truth. Or what the best outcome was what happened, which is everyone going, oh, well, I didn't think of that. That makes sense that you just feel that way. Sorry about that, you know?
Yeah. I will say the three of you as a friend group, if we're talking about Baldur's Gate, which no one was, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm obsessed with it. You are bringing so much into that friend group as far as emotional maturity and like vulnerability goes. Because I do think a lot of, and I'm not trying to generalize, but a lot of men have a harder time expressing their emotions. And unless they have a friend who is willing to do that and put themselves out there, they don't even consider doing it. And I think, what I'm saying is I think it's a really valuable thing that you do. It's not an annoying thing. It brings the whole group, it levels up the whole group as far as being more transparent with each other and being more emotionally vulnerable because there's really nothing wrong with it. I mean, if anything, it'll bring you closer. It keeps you from stewing and it keeps you from unknowingly hurting someone you really care about.
No, that's very well said. That's something I wanted to bring up too is, to Matt's point about everyone having different relationship dynamics or individual relationships, the relationship I have with you is different from the one I have with Jack because you bring so much more into my life in different ways that he does and that he doesn't and vice versa. You know what I mean? For example, you and I are closer in age, so we have a degree of life experience, right, for example, that we can bond over and we have bonded over. And so that's why, I guess I'm more saying this just more for you, you know, hopefully, and it's understandable these feelings come up for any of us, but always think about the value you bring into other people's lives. If I'm trying to give this as advice, I guess too, but for you specifically, Matt, you know, you bring so much more to my life that other friends don't. And, you know, you've taught me so much about communication. You know, I think, you know, and we love Jack, but for example, if this were the other way around, would Jack have brought it up the way you did?
That was one of the thoughts that I had when I was like going through my deepest, darkest thoughts about like, why am I not being included anymore? And honestly, one of them was, and it feels like it probably is the case for some of my relationships with people, is that that willingness to vocalize is probably one of the reasons that I get excluded from some things, right?
You just weed people out.
Well, yeah, that's a good way of making me feel better about it. But but like it is much easier probably. Like I can't imagine you and Jack getting into a thing about it all about anything. I don't know.
I mean, well, you know,
because you're both extremely easygoing people.
I actually will say that I feel like, and this is not my place, but I often say, hey, maybe you and Jack should have like a talk about your feelings once in a while. Because when I'm around them, they act like two 12-year-old boys, like playing and they're having fun. They're having carefree fun. They're doing sweet things. It's nice to see. You guys love each other. But I do sometimes say, I'm like, hey, maybe, and this is nothing against either of you. It's just, it's not inherently in you to have those deeper conversations. Whereas even with you, without
can't
you,
stop.
We can't stop. Maddie and I trauma bonded on your birthday outside. I was like crying. Like, but that's like, that's how I like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So like, I relate to you so much because I would have felt the same fucking way. And I have felt that way about friends who live in different states together. And I live all the way over here. Mm. I have a friend who's about to have a baby. One of my best friends, Molly. And in April and her live in the same place. And I'm like, you know, so I feel that and I get really jealous sometimes. But anyway, circling back, you bring that incredible skill. And I think that that's something I would hope that you would also, that's how your friends can bring you up.
Exactly. And then that's exactly what my point was. You know, Matt, you bring so much to my life that, you know, and a relationship dynamic that I don't have with other people. You know, Matt's someone who I think I remember
I wouldn't be very conscious of us like spending too much time on this particular problem.
Well, I think it's an example for strong. How the thought process for people, because it's a very common feeling. I remember, you know, like when Merle and I were talking about our break, Matt was the first person I told when we were eating at Yard House, which Matt and I are big fans of. And, you know, because Matt's just someone I feel comfortable having those conversations with.
And let's be honest, you can mix and match any two people across the street from each other between the three of you and the same dynamic would have happened. I think that truly in my core.
Like, what do you think? Neither one of us are serious.
Okay. Like if you had moved into this apartment across the street from Jack, you guys would have gotten closer.
You would have seen each other more. Like
if you and him and I all lived across the street, then we would be, you know what I mean? Like there is an element that's unavoidable.
Well, the other thing about it is I did in fact live in an apartment with about five of my I lived in an apartment complex where I think five of the 11 units were very close friends. And I didn't really ever do anything with them because they'd be like, hey, you want to do this? And I would go, no.
Oh, really?
It's very funny to be like, do I want that? And then Sadie was very good about being like, well, would you even like that? Yeah. Like living close? Because she knows me very well.
Yeah.
And the answer is no.
Yeah. I mean, to give Jack his flowers since I gave you yours, and I will give you yours, I guess,
you
too,
in a minute.
But bottom line is, Jack is very good at rallying the troops. If we're going to bring it back to Baldur's Gate, he's the bard, maybe. No?
Sure.
I don't know. Whatever.
So it's
I don't
really... Jack's fault.
No. So I'm saying if you bring that like emotional awareness, Jack brings the like, hey, Arya, get out of the house. We're going to go do this
That's
thing.
That's true.
He even does that gym. With me. They'll be like, let's go to this pop up. I'm like, I would never leave the apartment if you didn't ask me to. So
that's
okay.
Very true.
So like that's something he brings to the table. And then you, I think, actually are like kind of like a unifying glue. I think you're like a really helpful, cool mix of the two. But I also think you bring an element of like creative power that I think inspires people too. So anyway, I just didn't want to leave that out. You're just like,
I appreciate that.
But anyway, all that to say, but we can stop talking about this specific scenario. I think it's very healthy unless you had something else to say.
No, I was just going to say that I think it is going to be helpful for anyone listening right now to really take in Matt's experience, because I think it's relatable, but also the advice he imparts is very accurate and apt and ties into exactly what my steps were, let's have a little looky-loo here.
And I will say these dynamics exist in every friend group. Like I have within this, my closest oldest friends that I've known since high school, the four of us, we still have a group chat. We talk every day, but there's certain things I wouldn't talk to one that I would talk to about the other. You know, it's just people are so different and your relationships are so different, even within the group dynamic, that it's totally normal that like jealousy is going to arise. It's happened a million times. Absolutely. It's just life. The older I get, the more I trust people to be like, I'm going to let you deal with this with me. Instead of just me dealing with it by myself.
Well, yeah, certainly like this age, I've tried that with a number of people and they've, you know, no ill will to them, but they've been like, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
You know? And I go, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Out of my life.
It's like what Merle said, weeding them out, which is kind of like, but you know, when we're at this stage in our lives, it's like, keep the water, the garden, the plants that want to be there. That makes any sense.
What do they say? This is another Instagram quote. Stop serving people who are taking their food to go.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good one. I like that one.
We need to get that one like embroidered hate up in that bathroom. We have all those.
Yeah, that's a good one. Wow.
Yeah, right.
Quick thoughts from Psychology Today. These are their steps with how to cope with friendship envy. Number one, practice self-compassion, it says. You know, because...
You're better than them.
They suck. I'm just going to quote them verbatim because I'm too lazy to...
You'd have to dye your hair blonde. Oh my God.
There may be a change in this soon enough. We'll see. We'll see. This
will come out 6 months after you've done whatever you
do. But yes, I'm just going to quote them verbatim. It says here, being self-critical by telling yourself you're a bad friend or you're being overly sensitive or ungrateful only makes the situation more difficult. Engage in positive self-talk. You know, I think that's pretty valid. You know, what would you say to someone else who is struggling with that sort of envy?
That's a really good method. Mm-hmm. That's a really good method. And I also think about, what if the roles were reversed oftentimes? Like, what if that person was feeling, what would I want them to say to me?
I think, very much acknowledge the feelings you have. And I think stripping away that layer of shame with it.
That's a bit, yeah.
It's a big part of it. It's like, okay, this is how you feel. It's valid. And that's why when someone comes to you the way Matt came to us, I think it's important to validate the way they're feeling. Because then, like, if we had been like, you're crazy, you know, then that's gonna make the situation worse, you know? So that's why I guess I'm on the flip side. If you're on the receiving end of having that conversation with someone, you know, be open and accepting that. Recognize the fact that it's something very vulnerable that they're sharing with you, you know? It's a very, you know, it's they've had to go through a process like Matt did to get to the place where they're comfortable telling you. And so you have to be open to that conversation. Otherwise, you get thrown out with the other to-go people, right?
That's right.
That's true. Two is use envy as motivation.
Yeah, get to writing.
Yeah.
Get that typewriter out.
You better work.
Number three, he's always good at sound effects. He really is. Number three is, we touched upon it earlier, so we don't have to go into it very much, but is interrupt that envy with a feeling of gratitude, you know?
And that one feels really fucking annoying.
It feels annoying to hear. It's like, oh, okay. But
also, like, be grateful. It's like, can you call someone you love today?
The intention is not to be shitty, but
right.
it is to go be grateful for what you have.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
We take things for granted every single day.
That's true. Number four, I mean, we've really covered a lot of this advice because number four is exactly what Matt did, which is it says use envy as an opportunity for connection. And it really is. I mean, it's very important here, you know, like it gives examples. You are. I mean, we work through it. And it says here, you know, you can say something like, I know I've been a bit little distant lately and I wanted you to know that it's because I've been struggling with ... Or I just want you to know that I'm really happy for you. It's just hard for me because ... You know, those type of conversation starters. You can steal them from psychology.
I will say, be careful though about taking someone's moment of success.
Mm. Oh, that's good, yeah.
And really think if someone is having a great moment for them, kind of be mindful about whether what you're about to say to them is going to put like a bit of a dark stain on it, right? So I've had people go, I'm really happy for you, but you know, I struggle with the, you know, blah, blah, blah. That really is not fun to hear, especially if you're, you know, and it does kind of suck to have someone take away a wonderful moment for you. And I'd done it to people and I regret it. But yeah, and I've had it done to me. So I just think that one.
Maybe choose your moment wisely.
Maybe write the feelings down also possibly. Let like sleep on them a little bit. Run them by someone you trust, like someone else. Sometimes it's not your time to make the moment about you.
Yeah. That's great.
There you go. Number six is shift your perspective.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, the advice. It'd be great. Yeah.
That's like also think about how it would feel to get the news you're about to give. If you're someone who's envious or in a jealous position and you want to clear the air. And then think about why you have those feelings. And then also, if you're someone getting that feedback, then think about the experience of the other person, right? Before you get defensive and jump to like, hey, but I wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
Sit with it. Yeah. I think that's what that means.
I think we covered most of them throughout the episode anyways. So so basically, Psychology Today is agreeing with our expertise.
And basically, what we landed on is that you're totally normal to have these feelings. Yep. All of us have these feelings. And it does not make
you a bad person.
You're not a bad friend unless you hold it in to the point where you're sabotaging your friendship. You know, clear the air. And if you're also not listening to someone when they come to you with some feelings like that.
Yeah. It's definitely important to go, this is a human. Actually, there's a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune. Because I can't remember the guy's first name, but the famous kind of wacky director, Jodorowsky. It's an interview about, he was supposed to direct Dune and he had all this concept art for Dune, the first Dune. And then he didn't get to make it for a number of reasons. The documentary was like, what would this film have been like if it was made by him? And then in it, he is talking about seeing David Lynch's Dune for the first time. And he says something like, it was shit. And I loved it. And it was something like, it was very bad. And that made me very happy. And then he follows it up immediately with, and he's an old man, so there's some wisdom there. And he goes, that is not a nice thing to say, but it is human. And I love that. And I think that, even that, that phrase, it is not a nice thing to say, but it is human. That makes me feel okay sometimes when I'm thinking, you know, bad thoughts, just to go, you know, that is not a nice thought, but it is human.
Yeah. And it's probably not going to go anywhere. But the more you focus on the things you do have and the things you don't really want, probably the closer to happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very wise. I have nothing else to add to that. I think that quote is pretty much sums it up this entire episode, because the feelings you feel, the shame, very human. That's life.
We're all jealous. And that's the way it's going to be. I mean, it's how you deal with it that matters. What do they say? It's not the first thought, it's the second, right?
Wow.
Isn't it?
I think so. It's like you can't control certain thoughts, but you can control how you respond to them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone. Honestly, Matt, thank you for coming here. Thank you for being a great friend. We'll definitely have to bring him back. He had some other great ideas. But yes, thank you for coming on and not just being a great guest, but a great friend who has taught me a lot about friendship, about communication, and being so vulnerable and sharing your experiences with the listeners, with the watchers. That's really funny because he works at Watcher. Well, it depends on when this episode comes out, you know?
That's true.
If the allegations come out the way they
I don't know.
There are no allegations. He's a good
man. He's talking about his own allegations that will end this show. And honestly, this is coming out in probably the next 10 weeks. I'm proud of you to keep the show going after everything that came out about you.
How do I get caught in the middle of this crap?
But no, if anything, based on what you've heard in this episode, you know there are no allegations about Matt, because he is, as we always say, Marlon, he's lawful good. Almost annoyingly so. He keeps me sometimes a little caged, but sometimes the chaotic has to come out a little bit. And it does. And Matt, obviously not just a talented director, producer, writer, but he's also making content of his own. Where can they check you out, Matt?
YouTube.com/MattyIsTalking. I've maybe put one or two things over there.
And we will link it in the description below. So check it out. Anywhere else? Do you want them to hit you up on the Instagram?
Yeah. Search my name on Instagram. You'll find it.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's going to be great content.
On Blue Sky. I'm putting out some of the best shit on Blue Sky right now.
What the fuck is Blue Sky?
Yeah. Invite only.
Is it invite? Wow. This man, he loves the invite only platform. He's also big on Raya. All right.
Raya?
Dating app. I'm making it sound like you're like no, it's for actually for
it's
like
for celebrities.
Like yes, people. I am a celebrity. Yeah. Fucking in the show.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Lots of love.